Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're going to have a fourth beer.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading The Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, and someone's starting with a beer.
So, dragons, they're like, you know, in the lizard family, right?
Yes, I believe
And also, Violet, the main character, when she has sex, when she has orgasm, she shoots lightning. So wouldn't Spoiler. You say she'll crock you like a hurricane? By KCBC?
Yes, I think that is pretty accurate.
Yep, this is a, it's a very West Coast style IPA.
Very West.
Very West Coast, yeah. That is 7% alcohol. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of hops, but, you know, just imagine bitterness. It's quite bitter. Do people actually miss this? I don't.
So this book, The Fourth Wing, do you know what the tagline is? On the cover of the book, it's the fucking worst tagline I've ever seen.
Is it Ride or Die?
No, they're not the Rough Riders, Nate.
Fly or Die or something
Fly,
like that?
Fly, dot, 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 or die.
Oh, I thought it was going to be terrible. Like, better than the first three.
If the first three wings don't kill you. So we're doing this because it's popular on Book Talk, which also, what else has been popular on there? Fucking
Osama Evelyn bin Laden Hugo. Lately, actually.
Yes, true.
The fucking that science nerd romance book. I already forgot what it was called.
Oh, Love Hypothesis.
And also
Colleen Hoover.
Colleen Hoover, thank you. So I really don't have much confidence going into this about Book Talk's recommendations.
But I mean, if TikTok is for 14 to 16-year-olds, then they're right on point, I guess.
And weird, creeping, lurking older people.
Yeah.
So this book came out in, you know, spring of 2023, and there's already a sequel out. She's just churning these motherfuckers out, and it is a mammoth book about Dragon Hogwarts slash Ender's Game.
Slash Divergent.
Yeah. I think Rebecca Yarros had like a wheel where she just had like the biggest young adults books on it. And every time she was like, what happens next? And then she just spun the wheel. And she's like, oh, Divergent. There are personality groups. Okay.
Yep.
So let's get into that. It takes place in Dave Navarro, or whatever the name of the fucking kingdom is.
You know, I could not tell you where it takes place.
It's like Navarra.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like fantasy stuff. So the stuff has to have, you know, like weird names. Except there's one real name that comes up much later in the book that I found really confusing.
Liam?
Like of a name of a place.
Cleveland.
Yeah, don't go to Cleveland. I'll remember when we get to there.
Cleveland is where dragons come from.
Everyone knows it's Cincinnati, Jimmy. Shut the fuck up. So they are in Navarre, and they are in a world where, this makes sense apparently to some people, there's a magic kingdom, and it's magic because they have dragons. But the dragons are mean dragons, except sometimes they're nice dragons, and
they're
protect
surly.
The kingdom. And the dragons are very choosy, but they'll occasionally pick a person that gets to be their little buddy who rides them. And it is literally, it's not ride or die, it's ride and die. Like you ride the dragon until you die, which is my pickup line for the ladies.
I was going to say this later, but just like, I know it's a dumb fantasy novel, but just like, because part of the plot is Violet can't like stay on her dragon. You know what? The like centripetal force of like a dragon flying around, no person could ever hang on. It just wouldn't be possible. Every single one would just fly off and die, like, within minutes.
You're discounting magic and really strong thigh muscles.
Shut the fuck up, man. Why are you trying to ruin this for me? I'm just trying to jack it to this dragon sex book. And here you are coming in talking about forces and not the ones that we want.
You know, when we started this, I was like, oh, it's a fantasy book, and then it was like, is this for kids or is this for adults? And it's like, and then they start getting like really graphic sex scenes like three quarters in. It's like, what is this, a romance book? What's happening?
Yeah,
I still don't know.
Well, I think
it's a little bit of everything.
I think Book Talk discovered what that, because all the people on there are very young, that they like young adult novels, But you know what's not in young adult novels that young adults actually really want?
Black
the
use cock. Of the word
clit. They do, you know, young adults do want sex scenes. And I guess parents just no longer give a shit what their kids read. So kids read this now.
These are pretty graphic.
Yeah, it gets there. Let's save it, gentlemen, please. We have to go through an incredibly long hazing ritual. So it starts off, and so the main character is like every other fantasy young adult character. She's not supposed to be here today. It's like Clerks, but with dragons. She's not supposed to be going to dragon school. She's supposed
dragons
to be going
in a row?
To, she's supposed to be going to nerd school to be an archivist and just focus on the Dewey Decimal System. But instead, because her mom is a general and a real dick, she's like, you know what? No, you're going to go to battle squad.
You're going to join the fucking Air Force.
Even
though you're a weak nerd.
And I don't care if you die. I don't care if you die. Actually, your sister begged that you don't go. Your brother just got killed, you know, doing this a year or two ago. So fuck it. It's time for you to go too. And shut the fuck up. And she's like, wow, mom, not cool. And it's like, it really did remind me of Ender's Game, because they're like, all these things to weed out. Ender's Game is such like a Squid Game,
because
so
the
many
kids
of
die.
It's a really an inefficient,
they die
dumb system.
A lot, right? Like, with great frequency. This is Single Cut's Frequency Lager, and it's a beer. 4.7%. I don't know. It's a fucking lager, probably. That's beer-flavored beer. A little more interesting than a standard, like, you know, whatever, beer-flavored beer. But still in that wheelhouse. Maybe a little more pizzazz. It's wearing tap shoes instead of, like, regular shoes.
But it's in that quadrant, you'd say.
It's in the quadrant. Yes.
So right away, Violet, the main character, Violet Sarengale.
Beauregard. Oh, right.
Beauregard, yeah. She has to go through the hazing process, or like the screening process, rather.
Except this book, hazing, actually, death is encouraged and doesn't get your Greek life shut down for a week to think about what you did.
So the first step is they have to run across a brick wall thing that's like 300 feet in the air, and there's like a, you know, hurricane, so they have to just not get blown off of the parapet.
And it's like it was like really bad weather that day, but they're still like, yeah, we're gonna make all these kids run across the thing. It's not like these are our children. Oh wait, they are. But like, why would they do that?
For once, these are not actual children. They're 20, so they're not like making 13-year-olds fight to the death. They wait until they're old enough to have hopes and dreams, and then.
But it's even
them.
Dumber because they've invested more time in these children.
Got to feed him, you know.
It's like 7 more years of feeding and housing this kid before you kill it.
Yeah. For it to die walking across a ledge on part one of the dragon test.
And but of course, Violet gets across and she befriends the one who's named after a Fleetwood Mac song. What's her name?
Oh, Rhiannon. Oh, yeah. And their friend Rumors.
Yeah.
She'll never break the chain.
So she's like, watch out, it's landslide. But of course, as soon as they get across, there's like a bored older kid who has like a pink mohawk or something like that. Because, you know, they're dauntless now.
Oh, God. God, they've got stupid hair and tattoos and they're dauntless and they don't give a fuck and they're badass.
And
they're
just
that's
having
their personality.
Sex all the time.
They're like, make sure you do a fucking. And she's like, make sure you don't do a fucking with any older kids. Just do all the fucking with kids your age. That's cool. Yeah.
And you find out later in a throwaway sentence that they get like government-issued contraceptives. They're just like, go fuck around, kids.
Oh, the fertility suppressants.
Get them dicks wet.
Yeah.
All right. It's like, and once you bond with your dragon, you'll be dragging those nuts across somebody's face. Because that's the young love these days. Kids are into that. So, of course, then you meet right away. The one of the two boys who love her, because this is a young adult fantasy novel.
And one's a badass and one's a good nerd.
And his name is Dane Cook. And so you really don't root for him at all. Like, fuck you, Dane Cook. And he starts saying jokes that are like, I think this is a Louis C.K. bit. But he comes out, and he's a year older, and he's like, oh, my God, he has like 11 pubes on his chin. This guy is so hot. And he's like, Dame ate those. It's like a fucking fake name from Moe's bar, prank phone call. And he's like, I'm going to watch out for you. And he says, for the first of like maybe only 19,000 times, you have to leave here. You will die. And she's like, oh my gosh, shut the fuck up, Dane.
Up until this point in her life, she's known for being Bella from Twilight, where she just falls over all the time and like constantly breaks her ankles and is generally weak, which is, you know, you shouldn't be there if you're going to die trying to ride a dragon, but you can't walk up the stairs.
So according to Wikipedia, there's like an actual disease that is never mentioned. It's never named in the book, but she actually has.
She's got Unbreakable syndrome?
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
Oh, Ehlers-Danlos, yeah.
Where you've heard of this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a connective tissue thing.
Yeah, it's where your joints get all wobbly.
And she has that.
Does she actually have Ehlers-Danlos in this? Is that what it is?
The author does. So the author did it.
Okay, this makes sense now. This is like Stephen King writing writers that fuck everyone.
Yes, yes. So she has that, and that's like a...
But in fantasy land, she's just clumsy, but still the best future dragon rider.
Well, in fantasy land, she has shitty joints. That's what they say all the time. And like the stoner guys are like, I'll take those anyway. And like, not those kind, Scoob. And he's like,
oh. Zoinks.
Oh. Zoinks, yeah. Jinkies. So then, of course, like they go in, and then she sees the other guy, which I couldn't decide if his name was Zayden or Shaden, because I don't know how you pronounce an X.
He's probably not Chinese.
How do you pronounce X? Nate, audiobook, all right? What was it?
It was Zayden.
Yeah.
Zayden.
X so is why, like a sh in like Chinese.
Already a fucking weird letter. Do it with a Z. Why would you put it with an X?
I thought it was a Z the entire time.
Because it looks cooler.
Well, they do turn into X-Men at some point. So, like, but Zayden. Zayden Rorson, which I think is the Old Norse form of Rick Riordan.
Yeah, I was thinking of that too.
He's the really hot, vaguely black guy.
Is he vaguely black?
So he has bronze skin. That is said many, many times.
He could be a California summer boy.
No, he's got like dark brown skin and brown eyes. He's not white. That's the thing that has angered some of the internet people, because when they're done jilling and they like draw weird fan art, they always make him white. And people are like, read the book, he's not white. And I was really hoping to like there'd be a description of his dong to like clarify, but it didn't happen. That might happen in the next book, which I don't want to read.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's hot and he's really tall. And this was the writing wasn't bad in the book, honestly, but I like this sentence because it's
the writing wasn't bad. The story was, though.
The story is really dumb. But I like this line. It's like, oh my God, he's so tall. Good gods, I don't even reach his collarbone. Period. He's massive. She's talking about height. Period. He has to be more than 4 inches over 6 feet tall.
That's weirdly thanks, specific. Wingman.
Oh, and I saw 3 yellow cars today.
He's got to be somewhere between 6'5 and 6'6.
He is more than 4 inches over 6 feet, but less than 5. Is this like a fucking word problem for third graders? How many inches tall is he? So I just thought that stuck. I was like, wow. Thanks for clarifying, Rebecca.
I also like that they use the imperial system in this fantasy world.
Oh, of course. You know, the dragons do. Dragons hate metric.
It doesn't work. It's like, oh, he is a stunning 1.3 meters tall.
That would be very short.
I don't know what that is.
He is approaching 1 meter and 93 centimeters. Good Lord.
He's got an asymptotic relationship to height.
So they meet him, but so
there's a lot of backstory. There is so much backstory about how, like, which you get a little bit. I feel like it both wasn't explained enough, but also was so glad I didn't find out more. So there's like this king, the kingdom that they live in. There was a rebellion. It was
like 5 minutes ago. Like,
yeah, it was like 5 years ago. But yet, all the leaders of the rebellion, they were all just executed because they lost. But then all the children of the adults, obviously, that's where they come from, all the children of the people who were executed, instead of also getting executed, were given the opportunity to essentially join the military, to join this country's, like, Dragon Wing or whatever it's called, the Dragon
Riders.
Or
be killed. Those were, that I mean, was their choice.
Yeah, or be killed, which is so fucking stupid. No country would ever do that. You would never let the children of your enemies live.
Are you saying that Reconstruction not only went live, flawlessly?
But... Well, yeah, exactly.
It's like, why do they keep building all these monuments to the rebels? Like, no, it's about states' rights. It's not about that.
Like, you would never let the children of your enemies become the leadership of your military. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, they were hoping they'd all just get killed because most children do not survive. It's like the opposite of Full Metal Jacket.
But these were rebelling because they're in the midst of a 400-year war against the neighboring kingdom who doesn't have dragons. They've got griffins, which are a different thing, and we're going to sure get a lot of it in other books that I'm not going to read.
And they also have wyverns?
Well, we don't know about that until the very end. That's a secret.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
But one of the things about this book that I noticed right away, anytime something gets mentioned in the book where they're like,
Chekhov's now happened.
Chekhov's everything. Yeah. Chekhov's fucking dictionary of things. Anytime anything happened, they were like, hey, what's that over there? It's like, that's a book no one's ever read. She's going to read that book now. Like, that hasn't happened in 100 years. It's going to happen to this character. Has anyone ever bonded two dragons? Never. She's going to bond two dragons. Has anybody, this dragon never bonded anybody? Oh, he's going to bond her too. Okay. It's no matter what it was, you know it was going to happen to her. Which, of course, that's like what has to happen in this book or these kinds of books. Like, it's what Harry Potter did. But it was just so obvious. Like, she was so not special, but all of a sudden she becomes the most special.
Yeah, all these books are, you know, not outcast necessarily, but like unexpected child becomes the special child who will save the day.
Which is the King Arthur. It's the King Arthur fantasy trope.
But they become the most special. They don't just like rise to the occasion. They break the mold for one. Like, they're like, we're kind of hoping for like a Messiah or a Gandhi figure or a Rambo. She's like, how about I be all three of those? And they're like, oh, that'd be very convenient.
What's that unique combination of Gandhi and Rambo?
Yes, he's like, I will march to the sea while kicking ass to get that salt.
For peace.
In a diaper or whatever the fuck Gandhi was wearing. So
we must not shoot anybody.
Yeah, I for an eye, you one blind.
We must not provoke their anger. Sorry, I've seen Gandhi many times. Anyway, so there's so much there's
Ben
so much history.
Kingsley as Rambo,
Marcin as Stallone
as Rambo
Gandhi.
As Gandhi. So, anyway, there's so much history. She goes into, you know, Dragon Hogwarts, but immediately on the very first day meets both her best friend, who's the person who's going to be her best friend, the boy that she's going to be obsessed with, and meets a boy named Jack who just wants to kill her.
He's a sadist, yeah.
It's not even really, and maybe it was explained a little bit, but it was just dumb. It was kind of like, you just literally... He meets her or whatever right at the end of the little wall walk or whatever it's called, and he's immediately like, no, I hate you, I want to kill you, and then tries to kill her a whole bunch of times.
And all the teachers are like, well, you know, that's for them to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, and we thought Hogwarts would have been incredibly dangerous with kids just with magic, you know, just being able to like do stuff to each other and no supervision. This is even worse. They're encouraged to kill each other.
You can't kill them while they're sleeping, which someone will try to kill her while she's sleeping later, of course. That's the one rule.
You actually find out about that rule after someone tries to kill her while she's sleeping.
No, they mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, they say that right off the bat. Like, you're safe when you're asleep, but just in case... Here's this armor I made you out of dragon scales, so nothing can stab it.
Oh, yeah, she's wearing an armored corset throughout the book.
And it makes her look great.
And nobody notices. Yeah, really gives her a lift. But like no one else seems to notice that she's wearing this armored
They're cool
thing.
With it. Everyone's like, whatever, man. So what do you got?
But
do
they
to
keep
survive?
Trying to stab her, and they don't realize what it is that she's wearing.
Well, because they're dumb meathead jocks.
Even though she wears it every day,
I mean, she wears it under her clothes. So the dumb people don't
ripe.
Know.
It smells bad.
Yeah, she does have to wash it sometimes.
But it's made of dragon scales, and the dragons are like 100 feet tall or something ridiculous. But
they're varying sizes, but she will get the biggest, blackest dragon.
And the littlest dragon. She'll get the Godzuki dragon, too, that's going to help
fucking Godzuki, yeah.
But her sister, who is like an accomplished rider, gives her
DVD.
This... she gives her the dragon vest, and she's like... Don't worry, one of my friends has magic shrink ray powers, and I gave him dragon scales, and they shrunk them down, and then we made that into like a chainmail vest for you.
Because everybody, once they get a dragon, they get a magic power, but you don't know what it is until you get it.
And it's
this is like Twilight.
Random. Yes,
this
is
like Twilight, where each vampire had a completely random different power.
And every power, they're like, wow, that's even rarer than the last one. It just... Rant.
Even
like
though no two people seem to have the same one,
right? And they all know, like, oh, he's a one of those. He's a metallurgist, or he's a fire wielder,
like the guy who could just see real far. He must feel pretty left out.
It's just the one guy that could always tell if it's a left or a right Twix. he's just blindfolded in a room, and he's like left. I'm like, how can he do it?
Wizardry.
There's a dude who always lands on free parking in Monopoly. Like, really, there should have been some really dumb.
There weren't even five dice when you rolled them.
My God, he just hopscotched every community chest.
my railroads are worthless now.
And he won first place in a beauty contest.
Did you see that? Before they get their, signature power. Everybody gets like minor magic, like an open
the
doors.
Lesser magics.
Yeah, the lesser magic. And my favorite one, you know, there's open locked doors, go a little faster, and I can use pens.
you don't have to use a quill.
Later on, she's like, I can't wait till my power kick in. I can stop using quills and use pens.
Because they didn't actually invent the ballpoint pen. You have to use magic to get it to work. It's a real thing.
Like, it's so dumb, I kind of like it.
Oh my God.
So she goes through all of this training, all this time, back
so
and forth
much.
between all the things, including, I loved the magical PowerPoint presentation she has to sit through when they're learning about dragons. And it's like, and then it was like, oh, and then the wizard used his magic to change to the next slide.
Yeah. This guy's magic power was PowerPoint. So he has to be a teacher because he's good at instructions.
I'd like to imagine in his like magic powers of he's added PowerPoint transitions to it. So it's like star fade. One dragon, or you're a cash register.
I'm sure he zhuzhes them up because you probably get really bored giving the same lecture over and over again.
It turns into a Hogwarts / Ender's Game, but it's a girl, so it's Brenda's game. But they're they're trying to prepare for battle, and there's all these occasional nonsensical exercises they go on that have nothing to do with the other one. And they really have nothing to do with what they're training to do, which is to ride dragons. But they spend all of their time just beating the fuck out of each other.
Yeah,
on a
it
mat.
Is odd how much
hand-to-hand
they have to do
combat.
That.
Yeah,
and I like or just but like if you beat them, you take their dagger.
You have to have a lot of knives. Yeah,
at a certain point, she has like a bandolier of knives. She's like the Pancho Villa of daggers because she just is because she learns. She's a weak bitch, so she starts poisoning everybody she's gonna fight.
Yes,
and I like there's this early on when they start, when she's just gonna start, she goes, fuck, I'd almost forgotten that we're sparring today. We only have the gym twice a week. It's like, so they get like a high school program. Like you have gym on A days and Thursdays.
They only have gym Tuesdays, Thursdays. Yeah, they have lab the other days.
But like she shows up like, no, you didn't wear sneakers. You can't participate today. You're just sitting in the bleachers.
Here, oh read God. This article about fitness.
Learn about the Krebs cycle. It's like, what is a carbohydrate? Oh my God! I'm trying to see if I muscle. All right, I highlighted a few other choice lines, but not much. So then, there goes through training, and Jack the murderer keeps trying to kill her, and Zayden keeps being hot,
and he's the leader of the kids who are traitors.
So are this is branded. Pretty early in the book.
They have traitor tattoos.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is pretty early in the book where Violet is going to go out. She goes out into the woods to find her first like poisonous mushroom so that she can just poison the other kids. And that's normal. But she...
Because she read a book about
stumbles it once. Stumbles upon a meeting of all of the kids of the rebellion meeting together secretly out in the woods. And she's just like hiding by a tree. And Zayden says... Or one of them. No, I think it was Zayden says, I'm going to kill Violet.
No, they say, when can we kill her? And he's like, oh, she's mine. I'm going to tear that ass up. Just give me a minute.
And then instead of Violet immediately going straight to, you know, her mother or one of the other people in charge of this school, be like, the rebel kids are meeting together. Like, hold you. They were not supposed to do that. It says right there, I know we're not supposed to do this, but they do it anyway.
It's a capital offense for more than three of them to meet at any time.
It's like those colleges in the South where you can't have sororities because, like, four women living in a house is a whorehouse now.
By law, yeah. Exactly. But it's like she sees the thing, them doing the thing they're not supposed to do, and say they're going to kill her. And does she tell anyone? No. Because Zayden says, no, I'm not, I'm waiting for the right time, or no one can kill her before I do, or something dumb
but
like
then
that.
He like catches
he
her.
Immediately, he catches her instantly because his magic power is shadow puppets. He's like, check it out. Don't you see? It's like a witch's face. But he has shadow powers.
Yeah, which are anything you can think of involving shadows. And something
yeah, he
you
basically
can't think
has
of.
A, he has an infinite army of ninjas that he can summon out of the shadows.
And he can move in and out of shadows or some shit. I don't know.
Because
he's so dark and mysterious.
Their plots, their magic powers are just very convenient plot tools. It's a really a lazy writing technique. He's like, oh man, I'm going to need every once in a while to get out of this situation. I know someone will have a magic power that fixes that. And so he hears her and he's
just
like,
have to foreshadow it earlier in the book.
Oh, shadow.
At least a little bit. Another interesting writing choice the author made was that when Violet gets nervous and needs to concentrate, she just spouts exposition.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Just like, oh, I'm just going to tell you the history of this land, which I have to say, I both found really actually kind of clever.
It was.
But also really stupid. Like, oh, God. It's like, I see what you did there, but I'd rather just not have any of it. Just like, just right. Can't move on with the plot.
Yeah, she does it when she has to cross the bridge and a couple of times.
It was too cute by half. It's like, okay, clever, but not actually good.
There's also, all these fantasy books just have a map on the first page of the world. Like, okay, cool. This one had a map, but it was only of the fucking castle.
I don't even bother looking at the maps, honestly.
It was just like an overhead shot of the castle. It didn't even like have much detail in it. It's like, this is useless.
Didn't even show the room of requirement.
No.
Where's Dumbledore's office on this thing? And it
doesn't
matter.
Where's my time turner?
Where they go in the castle doesn't fucking matter. There's only one room where anything really happens, which is the fighting room.
And or the bedroom.
Or the, ooh, yes, ooh, the bedroom. Yeah. But they have like a dormitory where they all sleep in very exposed, murderable positions. Or then they get, you know, private apartments later in the book when they get promoted.
Once they've been whittled down.
Yeah, and they just read the role every day of dead kids, and they're like, well, what happened to that guy? It's like, oh, he just plummeted to his doom because he sneezed or whatever it is, and they're just like, oh, fuck him. more potatoes for me, and they just keep moving on.
When they first get their magic powers, they can't control them yet, and one kid just explodes.
Yeah.
He just bursts into flames.
He's like, oh.
He was in class. People are like, oops.
And then there was a psychic kid who got his neck snapped because that's not allowed.
He was an intinsinic. There's a word that had like nine N's in it. I forget what it was exactly. It was like an intinsic. It was the word for psychic. It was 80% N. It was the N word. It was mostly N's. I was like, what word has three fucking N's in a row? It looked like a like real nonsense word. So they go through the training, right? And you're like, what is the deal with Dane? Because Dane is such a fucking Boy Scout. And he's like, the rules must be followed, but you must leave. Every single conversation is like, Violet, you're just going to die. And I really want to bang you, but I can't because it's like a fraternizing rule thing. I can't do it. So just leave and go be a fucking librarian. And then we'll worry about it later. And she's always like, no. No, I'm scrappy. It's going to be cool. And then there's Zayden, always lurking around smirking, being all hot and shit. And she's like, I can't trust him. I don't know if I could trust him, even though it's supposed to be painfully fucking obvious to the reader. Yes, you could trust him.
And he's got nipples like milk duds.
Sure, that's good or bad. Is that his magic power? Oh my God, look at his nipples. Like fucking dinner plates. You can.
Just like a bucket of ball bearings. Anyway. Yeah. It's a lot. And Dane is like a fucking. He's a fucking narc. Like he everyone
he's
hates
like
this
the
kid.
RA or whatever the fuck. The guy in the college that snitches on everybody.
Yeah, he's a fucking narc. He's a real dickhead. And even like when they're doing some fucking test. You know, some trial of death, and you know she like fudges the rules to save her life, and Zayden's like, "Oh, you gotta save a life," you know, and Dane's like, "I wouldn't break a rule to save this bitch's life. I don't know. I like rules.
Don't make me admit it that I would let her die because she didn't file something in triplicate on a Thursday." But he, so it goes
this
from
is telling,
from the
beginning. I guess, but you know, he's probably the Mormon character.
But Violet really wants Dane's dick until she doesn't anymore. And then she's like, why is Zayden so hot? I hate him. He's a rebel. He wants to kill me.
Yeah, well, my narc childhood friend, who is a real downer the whole time we speak every time. And he's kind of a condescending prick. Or like the hot guy who's a little aloof, but you can tell he's like a nice dude underneath his gruff exterior. And his sad emo boy shadows.
So it goes on, and they go through a bunch of different adventures of just killing off characters that you didn't need. And at one point,
they remember their names.
I like the part where one of the challenges is an American Ninja Warrior, where they have to go through like an obstacle course. But
climb
it's
the thing.
Fucking Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, there's the like, gauntlet. You got to be able to climb all this stuff so you can get up on your dragon. When in the end, he just like puts his leg down so she can walk up it.
Well, because she breaks every rule. Like the dragons are the most supercilious assholes. That they're like, if you side eye a dragon, it just immolates you. So
they do,
you know,
frequently murder children. When they're like, that kid, you know, smells like beets. I don't want him.
I could hear his thoughts. He masturbated a lot this morning. Fuck that guy. His hands are going to be sticky. So then they just kill him. But they have this crazy obstacle course where it's like jumping on spinning logs and climbing up the fucking vert wall thing. And kids just fucking die. And they're like, womp, womp. But that's the thing that Violet, she's like, I'm just not big enough to do it. Which is like, she wasn't a midget. Like, she was like a little slighter than the other kids. And then they're like, she's just, it's impossible. She'll never be able to jump 6 feet across that gap.
Because of this damn Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. But, like, wizard version.
Damn you and your hyper-extendable knees.
Yeah.
So she's clever, right? But her also little thing is, like, she never kills anybody. She never wants, she always just is like, just leave me alone. I need to prove
myself.
Other
kids are killing each other.
And they're trying to kill her, especially Jack. The only guy with like a regular name.
There's also Liam, her bodyguard guy.
That's much later, though. That's like after they get through the threshing.
Yeah. Which I'm not 100% sure which part the threshing was.
The threshing was when they meet the dragons and the dragon and they bond.
The dragon parade?
Well, no, they do the dragon. Okay, so once they get through and they've killed like 59% of the kids, they say, okay, now you could go look at a dragon. And the dragons then kill a few more kids.
Is it the dragons who are feeling eligible this year want to meet a nice kid?
It's dragons speed line up. Dating.
Yeah, it is basically dragon speed dating. So if you don't get to talk to them, you just have to not look at them and hope they don't murder you.
Yeah, and they like the kids march in a line and they pass by. And then this a couple of them are real assholes. And you're like, I hope a dragon eats them. Because they're just going, I want a red dragon. That orange dragon looks like a real loser. And then dragons are getting their feelings hurt, apparently. And then they burn some kids because they can. And then they're like, oh, there's a feather tail. The mysterious baby Godzuki dragon has showed up. And no one has ever bonded one of those. And you know right away, oh, she's going to bond with that one.
They're pacifists. They're conscientious like, objector dragons.
There was also earlier when they introduced the big black dragon.
There is a big black dragon that the general, the king had, or like the head general, the most toughest bad guy.
Yeah, General Smegma or something like that is his name.
General Melgren, who, you remember his superpower that he has?
He could tell if a battle is, if they're going to win or lose a battle or something.
How are they still fighting this war?
Just don't go to the ones you're going to lose.
It's like, the guy can tell the fucking future.
But only of battles.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of explain it away at the end, but not very well. They're like, he can see the future, but he doesn't know when it's going to happen. Like, he'd still be able to figure some shit out. Like, he's a really shit general if he can literally tell the outcome of a battle and they haven't won yet. Come on, man.
But what if you act the battle you think it is actually going to be a different one when you're going to lose?
Well,
it's a hard job, Jimmy.
You still got a better shot than most.
He has a little more, it's like an insider trading form of being a general. But when they introduced Tairn, the big black dragon, because all the dragons have Irish names.
Irish, yeah.
Tiernanog and Seamus or whatever their other one's name was. And they go, oh, she's going to bond with that big black dragon for sure.
At first, because it's like, oh, you're the tiniest rider or you're the tiniest cadet. Oh, and this is the biggest dragon. And you know immediately what's going
to
happen.
Right, because they're like, I don't think it wants to bond with anybody. It's a big meanie.
He hasn't bonded with anybody in 100 years or something.
So you know right away it's going to be her. But then they're like, oh, but there's the dragon no one's ever bonded with. And you go, oh, could she bond with a second dragon? And then they ask right away, has anyone ever bonded with two? And they go, never. Like, oh, no. Hold my beer. It's about to happen. And so then they go to the threshing, where they walk around by the dragons. And again, because this school's designed by psychopaths, no teachers or even upperclassmen can intervene. They just have to watch as kids kill each other over dragon cock. And there's a gang, and they decide we have to kill the little dragon.
Yeah.
For no reason.
It's because it's weak.
But they're just like, we're going to go kill that little dragon. Even though the big dragons will kill you for looking at them the wrong way, they don't. That didn't make any sense. Why would the dragons tolerate that? Because it's teeming with dragons, and these guys are going to go murder another dragon, and it's going to be like, that's cool. I didn't like him anyway.
The ways of dragons are complex to people.
So Violet goes to defend the baby dragon, which is, you know, a little golden dragon. And they're all like, oh, it's all yellow. It's like it's a piss dragon. And then she she goes like, she stands in front of the dragon. She's like, go away, bullies. I am protecting this dragon. And then they like try to, and then Zayden's there. And he's like, oh, go fight them. Because he's just hanging out. And it's a dumb scene. And she throws a throwing knife. Oh, she somehow is like an expert knife thrower. Like she's a fucking gypsy or something. She has this power to just throw knives with pinpoint accuracy. But she always aims for like your elbow
or something. She always hits you in the shoulder. She says, yeah, I hit him my favorite spot, the shoulder.
That's my spot. And so she fights off the dudes, and then all of a sudden, big boy, scary black dragon, Tairn, shows up. And it goes,
ride
all
me.
Right, get on me. You're a rider now. And she's like, but I can't even. He's like, oh my God, are you fucking dumb? Like, didn't you just go to school for this? Why am I fucking deigning to speak to you? And you're not even. She like doesn't pick up on anything. She's an idiot. And then she rides the dragon back. She's like, oh my God, I have a dragon. And she instantly falls off. And and this is something they've all been warned about, that if you fall off the dragon's going to be like, oh, fuck that guy. And it's just going to leave you. But somehow this dragon's like, no, I'm going to have to save her again and again and again and again. And it keeps catching her because she's special. And then she goes to the person with like the scroll and a quill. And they're like, all right, who are you? What's your dragon name? Because they all know the names of the dragons. It's like they're like a sports team and they get traded occasionally.
But they have like secret names and only the writer and the scribe can know what the dragon's real name is.
But that kind of didn't matter because everybody knows the name of her dragon is Taryn.
But it has a full name. Nobody knows the full name. Oh. But that doesn't come back even once in the whole book. It's just like a thing.
And that part was taken from Jimmy's favorite thing ever, from Cats. Cats have a secret name they never share.
Taryn is short for Mr. Mistopheles.
But it's like, my name is Taryn. And then she's like, it's actually Terrence. Please don't tell people. And then the little golden dumb dragon shows up. It's like, I want to also be your dragon. And she's like, that's fucking weird. I don't think that's going to go over well. And they're like, we're fucking dragons. We'll burn them. Do it. And then the one's name is like Andalusia Andarna. Or something. Andarna?
Andarna.
Yeah, sure. And everyone's like, how the fuck do you have two dragons? And this part annoyed me, that they're like supposed to live in tremendous fear and like deference to these dragons. And instantly her conversations with the dragons are like a sassy teenage girl talking to her mom.
It's because she's, you know, the most specialist,
she's like,
girl.
Shut up and get out of my head, dragon. He's like, he's like, you should tell him. Tell him you want his penis. She's like, I'm not doing that, you fucking asshole. Like, she talks to the dragons like they're friends. Like, it's a giant magical psychic beast. They have a weird bond where they all just meet in her head and talk. The dragons just run thought trains on her. And she just has to live with that. And everyone's like, yeah, that's what happens.
It's like, I am in class right now. It's like, what's the name of that song? Chocolate Rain. Sing Chocolate Rain to me.
What was that movie that Kevin Spacey was in when he acted dumb, but he wasn't dumb, and he was lying the whole time? Like, oh my God, I think it's The Usual Suspects. Are you sure it wasn't American Beauty? I haven't seen it in a while. It's Kaiser something? Yeah, it's The Usual Suspects, Taryn. Okay.
It's 2 a.m., Taryn.
Is it on the net? What's the Netflix password again? Oh, you're going to get a thing on your phone. Can you just tell me the code?
You wouldn't guess it, but I'm pooping right now.
Right now.
Which he does occasionally let his emotions come through, so he feels really hungry or, of course, really horny sometimes.
Dragon,
you know,
horny.
You know he could feel like, this is what it feels like to poop when you're a dragon.
Sorry, I didn't chew those sheep very well.
Got a very low fiber diet.
The wool expands in the colon.
It's like a Q-tip on the way out. It cleans it.
So she just has this weird thought roommate now. And they're all like, yeah, of course, that's what happens.
Two of them.
Yeah, and the other one is like a child dragon. So it's really dumb. And then they do more training. Like, they're not done. This
well,
is just
also,
like at the end of
the
first
the other,
semester.
The other dragonless cadets try and kill her, like seven of them. Yet somehow she doesn't. First, because she like was wearing her armored corset to bed, as you do.
Well, she was told to do that by her sister. It's like,
true. And then you you know, then she's good with knives, and because now she can stop time.
Well, that
which
happens.
Is the secret power. Well, she does it right here, which is the secret power of the little dragon. But it's because the little dragon is a little dragon. I couldn't. Something about like only little dragons. I don't know. Only young
it's
ones.
Like, anyway, only ones can do more extreme magic because their power isn't solidified yet, or some shit. I don't know. He hasn't gone through magic puberty, so his power is just firing off, or her power. And then when she turns older, she can give her like one good time forever power. But for the meantime, she can do crazy shit.
But it's a secret because no one could know. Only the dragons know. Also, my favorite, I snickered a long time thinking about this terrible pun. The dragons, when they're like, we both want to be her dragon, they have to have a dragon congress meets for a little while. And it's called the Empyrean or something like that, is the name of the dragon Reichstag.
Yeah.
And the whole series.
It is. But in my head, all I kept thinking is, like, how could she not call it the Diet of Worms, but spelled W-Y-R-M-S? I'm like, that's a fucking great history dragon pun. There aren't enough of those. Yeah, right. Yeah. Martin Luther, Diet of Worms. No,
wasn't it spelled W-Y-R-M-S?
No, it's worms. Like the it's like worms. It's the like the it looks like the annelid, but it's W-O-R-M-S. Do you know what the Diet of Worms? They decided that. Like, Martin Luther was wrong about Protestant bullshit, but also they announced you could murder him and it would be okay. It was like a fatwa.
As Jesus would want.
I'm like, fuck that guy. If you kill him, one free murder. One free murder is available. Oh,
we'll
Germans.
Sell you an indulgence for that. No, it'll be free.
I can't believe no one took him up on it. But yeah, the Diet of Worms, huh? Come on. That's pretty good. So then they... The factionless try to kill her. By the way, this school must... I can't imagine the brochure. When they're like, come send your child to Dragon Hogwarts. We have an 8% graduation rate.
We have an 8% survival rate.
And even if you survive, you don't graduate always. You could get through it all, and they're like, you still suck.
You have to start over and do it all again to try and bond with another dragon next year. Unless you kill someone and take their dragon before they graduate.
But like when it's still in the dragon probation period, where like there's like a window where the dragon will be like, oh yeah, I meant you anyway, that's fine.
It's still under warranty. Yet,
the manufacturer warranty. Yeah.
But yet later in the book, there's a big thing about how like when a dragon dies or when a writer dies, the dragon is like so sad, it like can also die.
But if the dragon dies, the rider
definitely
dies.
But it's kind of like, but wouldn't the dragon like not bond a new person right away? So like the whole assassination attempt thing, just like that doesn't make sense at all. They're not going to be more dragons because this one chick stole two of them.
It's because if the bond is fresh, it's not very strong yet. So they can survive it if they die pretty quick. So it's like, oh, I only knew you for like 3 hours, like, oh, whatever.
Because it was like that night.
It's like if you buy a goldfish and you're like, I like this thing, and dies one day later, you're like, well, you know, that's what they do. But if you have that goldfish for a long time, when it dies, you're like, man, that sucks. Maybe I won't get another goldfish, but then you do. Yep. Until one day you get a shark and then it eats you. That's how this book works.
I think that's exactly the plot of the rest of the book. We could stop now. So, of course, a bunch of them try to kill her, and she's having a dream. And then the dragon, because they're like psychically bonded, he doesn't even have to be near her. It's just like, wake up, there's murderers in your room. And so she gets up, and there's like 10 people trying to kill her. And she holds them off until Zayden comes there, and then he shadow murders them. It's like the end of Ghost, when like the bad ghosts get that guy.
Like, it's kind of like that.
The shadows just come out and strangle everybody. And then he's like, take that. And he didn't even have like a good line, which I can't think of one right now anyway. But and she's all troubled because the one guy was choking her. He's like, you took my dragon. I'm going to be dragging my nuts across your dead fucking face. And she's like, oh my God, this is such a children's book.
I thought it was, but maybe it's not.
And now she's
see,
like,
it's
oh my
more
God.
For 20-somethings.
Zayden is so hot.
And also important is that he's hot and he saved her life. And also, his dragon is is the mate of her dragon. So now they're in a like a Mexican standoff four way. So if any one of them dies, they quadruple. All die.
But yeah, so now they are eventually. It's like a three way phone call happening. Like now he could tap into the line at certain points, and they're all just over. You know, getting must be getting confusing.
It's like being in a group chat. You're like, God, yeah, God damn yeah. it, not now.
How do I leave this fucking group? So they're all talking in their heads to each other randomly for the rest of the book. Oh my God, Zayden, stop looking at me like that. You know I want your cock. And then the dragon, I'm still here, you know. Sounds pretty
just do
hot.
It already.
Just do it. Don't forget the balls. But then the dragon, at a certain point, she's just like randomly really horny. And it's because her dragon is fucking the other dragon. Because, you know, the dragons in this world, these reptiles have sex just for pleasure, I guess. Or
they are mythical creatures.
They are. And they're just... In what position do the dragons do it in? Like, they have a cloaca, right? So the thing is like a... Is it like a corkscrew dragon penis?
I don't know if dragons have a cloaca.
Well, dinosaurs did.
Yeah.
You're assuming they're related.
We're assuming... I mean, unless there's some sort of convergent evolution that happened in this planet and the dragons are amphibians or something. We don't know. They actually don't know where the dragons are born. The dragons hide them in a secret valley. Hidden Valley Ranch is where they're so dope. So nobody even knows what a baby dragon looks like. Just all of a sudden, these giant beasts come out, which eat entire flocks of sheep, and somehow this world where they're killing... You know, young farmer age people all the time, they have enough livestock to sustain these animals.
Well, they did say that, they ride. That you know, the two kingdoms, they live in the, you know, mountainous place that has plenty of ore and limitless elk and deer.
But they never do that. They never eat that. They eat sheep. And then, like, Andalama, whatever its name is, he's like, I like goats. And that's what
I like turtles.
No, there's no way you could grow enough grain to feed that many sheep or feed that many goats to then feed that many dragons.
Well, no, there's one guy whose magic power is just producing tin cans, and they just keep feeding the goats that, apparently. Maybe you know what? They all have, someone has dumb powers. Maybe one guy's power is making sheep. He just cloned sheep. Okay, we need another batch.
I'm going to name this one's named Dolly, and this one is named Dolly, and this one is named Dolly.
I mean, the hardest part would be that when he's making them, he just must fall asleep at work all the time.
He's like a narcoleptic.
How many did you make today? I don't know.
So, yeah, strangely, in this psychic talking dragon book, the logistics behind feeding the dragons doesn't really make sense. But then they keep going on more training missions, and then they go visit at the outskirts. And now also, you know that there's been little glimpses that in their battle camp class, where the teacher randomly will either show them the latest intel about attacks by the griffins or teach them about a battle from 600 years ago. It just kind of goes back and forth. This is a teacher with no like curriculum to follow. They've found out, like, ooh, they're hiding something from us. Some shit's happening. And I really didn't care what it was. Because, like, it'll get explained later. I'm not going to try to guess what it is now. But there's some secret shit happening with the bad people. Or is it the good people? So that's happening. And they get sent out to go on a mission or some bullshit, and they meet Violet's sister there again, and then they are hanging out, and all of a sudden they're like, oh no, we're being attacked, run away. And she's like, you better protect my sister, Zayden.
Now they're together, and then they have finally sex,
and her magic, but oh, she has not had a signet power yet, because that's the name for your magic special unique power, like, you know,
she can use pens,
controlling fire, or being able to play the spoons, or whatever the other dumb powers they get are. So then she finally bangs him. And he's a giver. He's a generous lover. He's all about fingering her. And then it makes her, she turns into Storm from X-Men, and she just starts controlling lightning.
She queefs lightning.
She does queef. Queefed Lightning is the name of my the all lesbian production of Grease that I saw last summer. So now she becomes a lightning wielder, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, we didn't have one of those in ever." And she's like, "That's," and then she feels bad. She's like, "I'm a murderer." Mm. Even though she kills Jack, she shoots him.
She kills Jack later.
No, that's around the same time.
When she manifests her powers, when she's so desperate to save Liam, or Jack tried to kill Liam, and she's like, "Fuck you! I I could have killed you 1,000 times, but now I'm finally going to." She just sticks her hands up, and just instinctively, and just shoots lightning, and then bam, he's dead. And everyone else is like, "Sweet,
fuck that guy!
That was fucking awesome.
That guy did that again." Yeah.
About time. But then when she has sex with the guy, she explodes lightning out of her coos. He's like, "Oh my god, you just burnt my penis off." And it's not said in the book, but not only is she queef lightning, but she has horrific thunderous farts now. They always follow the lightning strikes. A little bit later, she just has to tear
Except
ass.
When she's close, they're at the same time.
Yeah, you know, you can count the seconds. That's...
Oh no, 1,000, 2,000, it's here.
Oh, get out of the elevator.
So quick, get your dragon to burn something. It's really gonna light a match in here. It's really bad.
Oh. See, my theory the whole book was that Zayden is just positively charged.
Don't try to science it, Nate.
I don't know how science works for
I don't know what
dragon
that means.
Lightning.
So then they go to a party because for graduation or like a dragon quinceañera or something, and they meet the king. And the king is like, "Oh, hello. How's it going, rebel kids? Are you still douchebags? Okay, cool." And her mom is a dick. She's just one of those parents that's never sad, you know, never impressed with their kid and always judgy.
Then they have to go on a training mission.
Oh, another mission. Yeah.
No, she fucks Zayden. Yeah. Remember, this is when she fucks him the second time?
She fucked him
time?
Before the party. Oh,
one or two times.
Well, this is the second time. But anyway, they're fine. Because first she fucks him once, and then she's like, "You know what?" And he's like, "Don't fall for me."
He's like, "You are a rider."
And he's like, "Don't fall for me." And she's like, "Well, of course I already did. But you know that." But she's like, "No, you can't keep playing with my heart like this." So then they break up for all of 3 days.
I can't help being that deep in you.
Until the next chapter, when there is this party, which is actually the anniversary of the end of the rebellion, which actually means the anniversary of when all their parents are murdered.
Executed. So, they were war criminals, Nate.
And it was...
Right.
It's contentious because Zayden's parents were executed by Violet's mother, but it was after his family, who were running the rebels, killed her brother. So it's like West Side Story with dragons.
That was the pitch for the book. I have a story for you. What if people always said was missing in West Side Story? It's like, what if instead of Puerto Ricans, it's dragons? I'm listening. Go on.
Go on. So they're both really sad. So they fuck. But then mid-fuck, even though she's already blown out the windows and, you know, and there's so much, like, everybody's hair is just standing on end. You know, so much electric shock. You know, every time she touches the bedpost, it's like, just gets zapped.
His balls are like those things you get at Sharper Image that you put your hand on, the lightning shoots out of the ball.
It's turned his dong into a Tesla coil.
So anyway, mid-fuck, they're like, "Everybody, we have a mission. We have to go." So they, and then they go out, and it's like, "Are you wearing Zayden's?"
I have an e-mission. It's coming out.
And afterward, they get dressed quickly, and everyone's like, "Are you wearing Zayden's coat?" It's like, "No, but it has his insignia on it." "Oh, yeah, maybe it is." And then they finally get their mission to go out. Oh, that's when they go out and meet fucking Violet's sister, but then they come back. But then what we actually want to talk about is their, like, final thing, which is the final, not their final battle, their final test.
They get, like, it's like a test mission.
War game
thing. Yeah.
Thing.
Oh, I just remember the name of the real place they go to, right? Everywhere, every place has a fake name. They're like Thrumsdenbig and whatever their stupid names are. But at one point, they go to Montserrat. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
The Caribbean island? But I always just think it's funny because whenever I can't read that word and I think it says Monster Rat, I was like, that's a ridiculous name. Which, that's like nobody lives there now. Right? That island's been mostly abandoned, hasn't it? Didn't like a volcano erupt there and like almost everybody left?
I don't know. I've never... A mountainous Caribbean island, yeah. It's just a big explosion and now no one goes there, but there's got... North of the island is largely unaffected.
It wasn't like it was a bustling act.
The currency is the East Caribbean dollar. Population 5,000. Okay.
Wow. Okay. There are tenements with more people.
Yeah, but blocks in New York have double that many people living there.
But apparently there was a moment when Montserrat had several dragons on it. A bunch of horny 20-year-olds.
As they do. So
then the big final battle comes, Nate.
That's where Fyre Festival was.
So, okay. The end gets really complicated. Though I have to say, most of the book was really dumb. And then finally at this end, I was like, oh, it kind of came together.
It got interesting.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. So,
they're given
their orders. For their like final war game thing, and they go out. They have to fly. They fly out into the countryside somewhere. I'm sure it said where they were going, but
that's
I don't remember.
The Athabine shit,
Amanda Bynes.
And then
Amanda
while Bynes. They're just waiting around for the dragons to finish gobbling sheep or whatever, you know, along the fueling up, Zayden is like, "I'm gonna fuck you one more time," but then mid fuck, the griffins show up.
Literal cock block.
The biggest cog blockers in the kingdom.
But instead of to fight a battle, it's like it's clear that Zayden has already been talking to these people. Like he's in league with the Griffin Rider people. It's like, wait, what's going on? But he's also like, you need to trust me on this. And they're like, what? Of course, she doesn't trust him on it because, of course, this is everything you've been told in the whole book. Like that they're the enemy. So you can find out this thing and like we gotta go to this place, so they do, and they find out this whole and it's like, well, no, Zayden's like, I've been giving them weapons so that they can fight off the Venon, who are these like magic these people that tapped into dark magic and are now like attacking things and like, wait, what? And
they were just the stuff of folk tales.
Yeah, we didn't think they were real. And oh, there's this other part where my father, dead father, left me this book of the folk tales of the Venon that other people don't seem to know about.
Was Venon? Is that what that word was? It was like vermin, but I don't fucking care.
It sounds like vermin, you know.
It doesn't matter. Because humans are only supposed to do magic via a dragon, but these people have somehow gotten direct magic. It's like they've cut out the middleman, and there's a strong like.
It's like they became cyborgs instead of just having an external computer to do all their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out that the reason why the Griffin Riders have been attacking the dragon people is because the Griffin Riders are actually being attacked by the Venon. And why they would also attack the dragon people, I didn't quite get. But there's this whole thing. But yet, this has been a secret that the kingdom has been keeping this whole time, even though they're supposed to be the good guys and they stand for, you know, light and justice.
It's because the dragons need the humans to use their proxy magic powers to build these magic shields, the ward things. It's like a big force field around their kingdom, and that keeps out other bad magic from coming in, which the Griffin people
do.
The
whole thing is an allegory for the Endangered Species Act.
Yes. Invasive species. the toads are taking over the mountains and wiping out the caterpillars.
The Venon people are kudzu, or whatever that,
yes.
that line is.
The Venon, which are mythological creatures that no one believed existed, they do magic, but bad magic. They take the magic directly from the earth, and they don't let a a monster poop it into them or something.
It's like the it's the equivalent of raw milk. Like it's not.
Yeah, they're raw milking it, so they can have incredible powers, but they die young from the diseases.
Got smallpox again from this raw milk.
With their raw milk powers, they can do magic, but they can't go into the warded places, which are like the pasteurization barrier of their milk powers.
So they fly off, but then Zayden is like, I'm sorry I lied to you this whole time. But he's like, but I didn't lie. I just didn't tell you the whole truth. But
and her psychic dragons are like, yeah, we were hoping he would do the right thing, but he, you know, he didn't yet.
But we couldn't tell you psychically, even psychically, what was going on. And so the Venon are there. They're about to attack this village. And they're like, you, and the Griffin Riders are like, you guys don't have to stay. We know you won't. We're just going to die trying to defend them. And to, and Violet is like, yeah, no, we should do it. And everyone's like, yes, let's help defend them. So there's a big battle. And like, finally, there was, I actually thought this battle was interesting. It is like this. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. All right. Even though everything else in the book was so dumb and all the other scenes, they like, oh, this was actually kind of neat. Anyway, there's this big battle. They're like trying to save the villagers and they're like, they keep dying and they have to take out the wyverns and figure out and to take out the Venon who are there. And
who can only be like, killed by knives.
Too many. Yeah. They can only be killed by the special knives, which doesn't make sense at all.
Good thing, randomly, Xander, or whatever this fucking name is, made a whole bunch of special little person knives for Violet.
Yes.
That are covered that in have magic a, that have runes.
A special metal? No.
Yeah, they have a special them? Metal in them that kills them. And if you kill one of them, it destroys all the wyverns that he summoned, which is, of course, Game of Thrones.
Night King logic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was more like multi-level marketing, and it's like a pyramid scheme.
No,
like,
my downstreams.
They're the, it's the Amway of dragons.
So there's a big battle, and then Liam dies, and then finally, but then, and Violet is like, you guys go save the villagers. I'll hold them off with my lightning, because she's kind of has the biggest dragon and the best power. So she's like, I will hold them off, and she does. But
how
she
convenient.
Also gets into a knife fight with the witch, who's and then gets stabbed with the
running
poison
along
knife.
On her dragon.
Yeah, they're like literally in the air. They're literally like both knife fighting dragon back. It's like, come on.
They made a special saddle for her.
Because she's got Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. She needs a saddle. Her dragon is ADA compliant. Which, you know, they should all just have a fucking saddle.
Handrails.
Yeah, they should just all have a fucking saddle. That seems like a pretty easy...
That doesn't make sense for anybody. No one could hold on. You know G-forces?
The dragons evolved to have this one weirdly shaped vertebra, so you can just sit there.
It's like the Imogen, the punk rock badass girl,
yeah, the
with the pink half
pink
head.
Girl.
She has been doing inner thigh exercises with Violet, so
she's
can stay aboard her
Kegels.
Big black dragon. It's like this is not thinly veiled at all, guys.
So that happens, and then Violet gets stabbed with the poison knife. She still wins, but she also is now poisoned, even though she's the master of poisons. She doesn't know what poison she's been poisoned by, so she's like slowly dying.
But also, it's somewhere in here, the baby dragon showed up, because the baby dragon is too slow to fly with them and is not a good fighter. But it's like, you know, he just really wants to be there.
She has a little strap for herself to buckle into the big guy's chest like a little dragon Bjorn.
But that the little dragon uses the last, you know, it does one more round of time turning so she could kick all sorts of, vermin ass or what the fuck they were called. So then, you know, to help win the battle because, you know, that dragon power, that was a really good plot device. She had to make sure she used it at least one more time in the book. The ability to pause everybody but yourself in time. It's a really good get out of I don't know what to do with this plot free card.
So Viola's been poisoned, and then so there's like a bunch of short scenes where she's like, I don't know where I am, and I'm just hearing voices, and then she eventually gets better from the poison. And so it's the final scene of the book. And she's like, oh, and Zayden, first, so it switches perspective. So now you're in Zayden's perspective. And he's like, oh, and I just loved her so much. And I just loved her from the first time that I saw her.
Which was fucking obvious in the book.
Yeah, but also, a just fucking dumb thing to have in a book. Like, instant, like, oh, I'm supposed to hate you, but it's love at first sight. So it is.
Every cliche.
It is West Side Story, yeah. That's it. Yeah, right there.
She just needs some raw milk to fix her weak joints.
And then, so I was like, okay. And she's like, I brought you here. I brought you to the things. Like, wait, we're not back at home. I was like, no, we're not. I brought you to this other place that has a name that I don't remember. But, oh, and the person who healed you is your brother, the one you thought was dead this whole book. And he says, welcome to the rebellion. No, welcome to the resistance.
Revolution.
Revolution. There we go. Welcome to the revolution.
Welcome to the Ramada. No.
And then the end.
I smell so a series.
Apparently, so that set up this whole, so right in the like last, you know, 5% of the book, it sets up this whole thing where it's like, oh, well, the generals in charge definitely know this stuff, but they've kept a secret from everybody that actually the people we're fighting have actually been attacked by this other group, and so they're fighting us and we're not helping them at all. And Violet is like, well, that's shitty of them, even though her mom is one of the top generals doing this thing. And that the whole rebellion, and that also leading to this whole rebellion that happened 5 years before, where the rebellious leader guy was like, the Venon. And it was like, oh no, that was all true. And that they killed all the leaders just for telling the truth. Now it's like Galileo. And then but actually her brother didn't die. Anyway, so there's clearly a lot of intrigue. But that's the end of the book.
So she, I believe the second book is out already. Came out like 6 months after this one. And she has said that she planned, I think it's supposed to be 5 books altogether. But who knows? People say a number and then they sell a bunch of them and they just keep growing that number.
Did I say 5? I meant 12.
Yeah. It's a 10-part quintology.
There was another kingdom to the south we didn't talk about yet.
I learned a new synonym for dragon and I needed to make a place for those. That's what'll be happening.
There's always room for a prequel.
Yes.
The story of Trogdor.
So, what'd you guys think?
I thought it was mostly okay. I wanted to like it. I was like, hey, you know what? A fantasy series this could actually be, you know, because like Harry Potter is a young adult fantasy series, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. Maybe this'll be okay. And then it so was not. It was really, really stupid, and it was just made up of every other young adult, big young adult series thing, and I really didn't like it. It wasn't, and it's a really long book, and it wasn't until like the very end, like the final battle, and I was like, oh, wait, oh, it all fits together now, okay, and I was finally, for the last 5%, not bored out of my mind. There's no, if we weren't doing it for the podcast, I would never have made it past page 50. I would never, ever have made it past page 50.
To be fair, though, Nate, you abandon a large amount of books.
I abandon books, no problem.
I think there's nothing
but
wrong with
there
that.
There are so many other books. Why would I keep reading something that sucks?
But look, it got to the end and we're like, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't quite as bad. I don't think it made it worth it. It's not quite that good, but finally I was like, oh, okay, this is an author that clearly planned an intricate ending that actually fit together, also kind of like Ender's Game.
Oh yeah. Well,
but the
training missions become real.
There's just so, it's so bloated. There's just so many stupid things. Yeah.
I thought, you know, I kind of liked it going into it and for a while, and then it really bogged me down with stuff I thought was bogging me down. And I thought the romance stuff was terrible, just like really, really bad. And I think if they didn't have that part of it at all, or at least like waited until book two or three to like get something going, it would have been much better. It just felt kind of like, now we're going to have an explicit fuck scene.
Well, I think it's supposed to be a new genre called romanticy, where like people want that. But yet the first sex scene wasn't until three quarters of the way through the book. So there also wasn't enough of it.
I didn't know what they're trying to do. It was odd. It was like, I thought it was a YA book at first. And then they say fuck way totally too many times. Is. It's got YA tropes. I think it's like not adult. It's not YA. It's probably like, maybe it's like literally young adult instead of like young adult meaning 13-year-olds. But then they start putting all the like the crazy sex and romance stuff in there. And it's like, this feels like a weird, because sometimes fantasy books can be a little horny because they're written by like weird nerdy guys. This is one's written by a lady. So it's like a romance with explicit sex scenes and dragons. So I wasn't sure. Oh, it is. I guess it's like a melding of a bunch of genres, two or three of which I don't like it to begin with. So I thought it, and at the end, at the end was actually pretty good. And I kind of, you know, I'm not one to really enjoy like incredible levels of world building and fantasy where it's like, I've got to learn the name of 14 countries and all this other shit and like weird nouns that aren't words. And there was a little bit much of that for me, but I thought it was actually by the end pretty interesting. I just hated all the romance stuff and I thought it was tacky and way too young adult plus 50 Shades level explicitness.
Yeah, I could hear that. It felt shoehorned in the sex stuff. But, you know, it wasn't even a love triangle.
Terrible love triangle.
It was a pair of love parallel lines.
We left out that they were attacked out there. They were sent there to die because Narc Boy Dane, whose power is reading your memories, sent them out there and like ratted on them that they were traitors, and then they were sent them out there to die. So he's like obviously not going to be a good guy, or he's going to be a misunderstood good guy. But fuck him. And I don't care because I'm not going to want to read the second one of these. Or maybe once the world building is out of the way, it makes it better. But I don't know. I'm sure I'm going to have to learn about the entire other fucking country in the second one.
I don't think the world building will get out of the way and make it better, because then all you'll be left with is high school level drama. Like the arguing of who are still people pursuing an associate's degree in dragon. So I don't really, like, that's not going to go away.
It's probably a certification at best.
I mean, it's a professional, yeah, it's a
professional license.
Accredited institution.
It's a 2-year degree program, yeah.
It's the extension school, the dragon extension school. One thing that stuck out to me, the book that I thought was really bad about the book, was each chapter started with a little blurb from a fictional other book,
which is a common fantasy book.
It is. It reminded me of Dune.
A lot of them were snippets from the book that her dead brother left to her sister that she gave her, like tips and tricks on how to survive dragon school.
Right, but a lot of them were
You'll never believe number 7.
Dragons hate this guy. But there were like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 different titles that you would see, and I stopped reading them right away. But it was like General Strokanoff's Guide to Dragons, Unauthorized Edition. Or like, but all those
the director's cut.
Yeah, all those, you know, X-rated. This one has Bush in it. But all of the blurbs
bigger, blacker had the dragons. Same
they all had the same tone. They all had the same sound. Like, she was trying to be like, ooh, let me give you a little world building
And they
here.
Also completely predicted what was about to happen of in the chapter. Course they did. Not even subtly.
Like a love just hypothesis?
Like, just like once you read the little blurb, you knew exactly what was going to happen in the chapter. It's like, oh, this is the one where they fuck. Okay, next chapter. What's the next blurb? Oh, they're going to have a battle in this one. Okay, next
why is
blurb.
This passage about where the dragon's clitoris is? It's but not it's just, where you'd expect.
But like she's putting like, here is a guide to the official state issued guide to raising dragons or some crap. But the tone didn't match. You know, it would just come off like as if in the fantasy medieval dragon world, some scribe was like, I'm going to put a saucy little blurb about black dragons here. Like that's not. It didn't fit. It just felt dumb. It felt like, oh, I need to put something at the beginning of each chapter because that's what you do sometimes, I guess. I don't know.
And it was a way to drop more exposition.
Yeah. Just like, let me put a little bit more of this dragon cock in your face at the beginning of every chapter. Get a little bit of the dragon smegs.
So I felt for most of the book, like, I really don't care about these characters. Like, I just didn't care about them. And I wasn't sure why.
Because you knew the ones that mattered, it was going to be fine.
Well, I guess there's that. But it's okay. One young adult to compare it to was Harry Potter. And so, like, Harry Potter starts with, like, the boy who lived. You know, it's like he was going to die, but he somehow lived. And yet, he's going to Hogwarts, and he doesn't know about magic and all this. There's, like, something there. There's, like, both a mystery you want to learn more about, and there's a reason to like care about the character. You know, his parents are dead, his step parent or his like, you know, foster parents are complete assholes. This kind of like, I mean, it tried to throw in one thing, which is like, my mom says I have to be in the army instead of going to college because my mom's terrible.
Even though her mom,
but I just,
her dad was a scribe, but he was soft.
But it just kind of didn't have enough. And I really was like, I mean, and this book was fucking insanely long. And like, before long and all the way through, I was like, I just don't care.
Like, it had too much like classroom and teenage angst. Were people that weren't teenagers and not enough reason for her being there other than my mom's mean and she'll make me die if I don't do this. So
Just nothing in this story, no bigger reason in this story to make me care about them. Yeah. So that's what I felt like for the whole way through.
So obviously everybody read it. This has like a million ratings on Goodreads. So who should read it? We were the last people to read it, I think.
Yeah, everybody already read it.
They're already done. They're waiting for book three already.
I'm not too interested in reading book two. Maybe we read every other book.
Oh, God. That means we finished Divergent.
There's only one left.
Oh no! But the side quills to Divergent.
I'm not going to even entertain that.
It means we've read Atlas Shrugged. It means we've read.
At that point, I will just kill myself.
We've read Maps of Meaning. We're ready for book two of this.
We're already. I don't want to live Petersons in that world this year.
You asked for it, Jimmy.
I don't think that I did.
I think you did.
Yes, you did.
You're outvoted. If you like fantasy, I guess it's fine, but there are certainly better ones out there.
If you like fantasy, this might be a little too YA for you. Like if you're like, yeah. I love the fucking Wheel of Time, maybe this
or
is a little
I love
bit,
you know, a Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
This is not Lord of the Rings.
No. I don't know. I'm sure fucking millions of people like it. Not us. It was fine. It was not the worst. It was not the worst by any means. It was fine.
It's, you know what? I will say this. It's fast and breezy, and you're like, ooh, shit's happening all the time. That's kind of fun to read.
It kind of, it slowed down in the middle a little bit.
Yeah, and it's also, you know what's going to happen. It's just like, what the fuck happens with these dragons? Like, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to be like that she has two dragons? Oh, it really doesn't fucking matter, actually. It just meant she had an extra power for a couple of scenes.
I'm sure it'll matter more in the later ones.
Maybe.
She'll have two. She can do lightning and fill pens with ink.
Like when she's fast forwarding through commercials, she'll always know exactly when to hit the button on TiVo to not miss any of the show. She could always calculate the tip and split it no matter how many people are in the party. That's what the dragon's power is going to be.
That's amazing.
That is a superpower.
But the more you think about the plot, the dumber it is. Why they kill a sizable percentage of their population that they obviously need for agriculture.
Just also, that's not how war works. Like, war, you would think war...
What is it good for?
Well, there's that. But war isn't the thing where it's like, oh, if I'm just really good at it, I'll be fine. It really is so much more random than that. Like, being a soldier is like, I'm already dead. It's like, it's so just completely random chance that you happen to be standing in the spot where the enemy is aiming, you know. Like, you can't do anything about it. So war is just much more random people dying than like only the strongest survive. That's just not what war is like.
Well, I mean, you're forgetting that the guy can tell the future of battles, but he'll get around to it later.
He just kind of glances at the report.
Also, and this is another stupid tiny little detail, there's one scene where they're talking about like how their like castle is built or how they're like... fortifications are built, and it's like, oh, this is a very strong portcullis. It's like, wait a minute, why do you have castles when they're just going to be attacked by dragons from the air? Castles are for defending against infantry. Like, this, you don't, sure, they have infantry, but if you know you could just be attacked by a dragon at any kind, don't bother building a fucking castle.
I get the sense that there was like way more infantry, and the dragons and the griffin people are like more rare. Like they said, like, oh, we've got six of them here at this outpost, but they're like,
yeah, but just
stocked
one dragon at any battle is gonna like change everything,
especially because they have impenetrable armor and they have bows and arrows and spears and shit. So the dragon can just casually, you know, swoop over the army and just incinerate them. Like the infantrymen. It didn't make any sense that they need...
And why would you have a siege? Well, you build a castle, and then why would you siege a castle? Just be like, bring in the dragons and just go and use the dragons. You don't...
I think it's because most people don't really understand the purpose of castles, besides that's where medieval people lived. So if you have a medieval...
Though they didn't do that either.
It's probably just like, because it's the problem with every fantasy series... with magic is like, you got magic, what, how you can get around it, like a different magic. It's like, you got a dragon, you're gonna need something that's a better, worse dragon, and then the third book is gonna be a worse guy than that, and the normal logistics just, it's all suspension of disbelief where it's like, yeah, well, that part doesn't matter.
It's true. It was a very minor thing that annoyed me.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't supposed to matter at all, but still did.
Yeah, we don't even when they go out to like these outposts and stuff, you never actually see any infantry anyway. She just mentions how, like, people who are too dumb to do a reading stuff job or do become a doctor, they go to the infantry and they just die en masse. It's like, wow, that sounds like a great society.
Yeah, nobody farms.
That's because they mentioned that they trade four times a year with the country they've been at war for 400 years. They give them ore and... elk and meat, and the other country does all the farming. Like, why are you guys trading? What?
Iron Curtain. No, like, just the other country could starve them out in 1 year.
Just don't trade
this year. Just be like, no, we don't want any of that. We'll be fine.
You can't feed a whole country on elk meat.
We'll live on our gruel. We don't need your steaks.
Yeah. Most people did that for human
and
history.
And then you'll starve.
I mean, maybe I misread it. I was hoping you guys would be like, no, they're talking about a different country. But no, it was the country they were at war with, right? They meet four times a year.
I don't even know.
I don't remember.
I never cared whenever the data dump like that happened in the book. I just skimmed
it. It was confusing.
I don't give a fuck.
No.
I just want dragons to eat people. And it never happened.
Someone got eaten.
They burnt them. Did they eat a person? Did the dragon eat a guy? Or just
maybe, I think a wyvern ate someone at the end.
Oh, fine. No, so the dragons just go around roasting people, which is cool, I guess.
But depends what you're into.
I guess in the meantime, you should tell us what you thought.
Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter, drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub.
And if you go to Patreon, support podcasts, that'd be cool. quit dragging your ass.
And go to Goodreads. We got the books there.
We're the Arby's of books.
You are the books.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.